Nemoto presents classical music giants. Giacomo Puccini, the poet of the human voice. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 10 minutes. It is a crisp winter night in Milan in 1896. The lights are low, the orchestra breathes, and on stage four young men shiver in their attic apartment. They burn manuscripts to keep warm, they joke about poverty, and then, almost by chance, love enters in the form of a girl with a candle and a soft knock at the door. Her name is Mimi, and in that moment an opera is born that will break hearts for more than a century. The composer is Giacomo Puccini, and the opera is La Bohème. For audiences then and now, it is a story at once ordinary and transcendent. Love and laughter, cold rooms and burning desire, joy and death. And it came from the pen of a man who was perhaps the greatest melodist since Verdi, a man whose gift for theater, character, and song has made him one of the most beloved composers in history. Puccini was born in 1858 in the Tuscan city of Lucca, a place of ancient walls and quiet piazzas. His family had been musicians for generations. His father was the organist and choir master at the cathedral. But when Giacomo was five, his father died, leaving the family in straitened circumstances. His mother Albina struggled to provide, yet she saw her son's talent and pushed him toward music. Giacomo began as a chorister, played the organ in local churches, and dreamed of something larger. The story goes that one evening as a teenager he walked the long road from Lucca to Pisa, 18 miles, to hear Verdi's Aida. That performance lit a fire in him. From then on he knew he must be an opera composer. He studied first in Lucca, then in Milan, supported by a scholarship and by the generosity of a wealthy patroness. In Milan he encountered the bustling world of the conservatory, where Italy's musical future was being shaped. He absorbed the techniques of harmony and counterpoint, but more importantly he absorbed the theater, the life of the city, the pulse of the stage. He wrote a graduation piece, the Capriccio Sinfonico, that already showed a flair for melody and orchestral color. Soon after came his first opera, Le Villi, submitted to a competition. Though it did not win, it impressed the publisher Ricordi, who saw in Puccini a spark worth nurturing. His second opera, Edgar, was less successful, but with his third, Manon Lescaut, Puccini triumphed. Premiered in 1893, it told the tragic story of a young woman torn between love and luxury, ending in desolation on the American plains. It was an audacious choice, for only a decade earlier Massenet had written a French opera on the same subject. But Puccini infused it with his own Italian warmth, his gift for soaring melody, his instinct for drama. The audience responded with enthusiasm, and from then on Puccini's career rose steadily. La Bohème followed, based on Henri Murger's stories of bohemian life in Paris. The collaboration with the librettist Luigi Illica and Giuseppe Giacosa was stormy. Puccini fought fiercely for dramatic pacing and poetic detail, but the result was magic. The opera captures not only the grandeur of love but the texture of everyday life, the laughter in a cafe, the bustle of street vendors, the tenderness of friends. Mimi's aria, Mi ci amano Mimi, is simplicity itself, yet it touches something eternal. Rodolfo's Che gelida menina glows with ardor. The final scene, where Mimi dies as her friends try to comfort her, remains one of the most devastating moments in opera. Next came Tosca in 1900, a thriller set in Rome, full of political intrigue, passion, and violence. In it Puccini showed his mastery of Verismo, the Italian movement that sought to depict real life with all its grit and intensity. From the soaring Visi d'Arte of Tosca to the defiant E Luce van Lustel of Cavaradossi, the opera brims with unforgettable melody. Its orchestration heightens suspense with cinematic vividness. Audiences felt as if they were living the drama themselves, caught in a story of love, betrayal, and execution. Then came Madama Butterfly in 1904, perhaps Puccini's most daring work. Inspired by a play that dramatized the meeting of East and West, it tells of a young Japanese girl, Seosio-san, who marries an American naval officer only to be abandoned and driven to despair. The premiere was a disaster. Critics mocked its length, audiences jeered. But Puccini revised it, tightened it, and within months it became a triumph. Today it is one of the most performed operas in the world. In Butterfly's arias, especially the heart-wrenching Un bel di Vidrimo, Puccini achieved a fusion of Western harmony with delicate touches of Japanese color, creating music of unbearable poignancy. Puccini's fame spread across Europe and to America. He traveled widely, absorbing influences, listening to Wagner in Germany, Strauss in Vienna, and even African-American spirituals in the United States. Always he filtered these sounds through his own sensibility, never abandoning the Italian gift for melody. He once said that he aspired to write operas of the people, works that ordinary listeners could feel as their own stories. And indeed, his subjects were often drawn from real life. Poor artists in Paris, a fragile geisha, a tempestuous diva, a young woman seduced and abandoned. He gave grandeur to the ordinary and humanity to the stage. In 1910, he premiered La Fanciulla del West at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. It was a Western before Hollywood had invented the genre, a tale of miners, outlaws, and love in the Sierra Nevada. Its harmonies show Puccini at his most adventurous, influenced by Debussy and early modernism, yet always grounded in lyricism. Later he wrote La Rondine, a bittersweet romance, and the triptych Il Trittico, three one-act operas ranging from tragedy, Il Tabarro, to spiritual devotion, Suor Angelica, to uproarious comedy, Johnny Schicchi, whose aria, O Mio Babbino Caro, has become one of the best-loved songs in the world. But Puccini's final project was his most ambitious, Turandot, an epic fairy tale set in China. In it he sought to blend exoticism with passion, cruelty with redemption. The heroine, Princess Turandot, is icy and unyielding, testing her suitors with riddles that mean death if answered wrongly. Only Calaf, with his famous aria Nessun Dorma, dares to persist, confident that love will melt her heart. Puccini labored over the score, pushing himself to new heights of orchestration and choral writing. But illness intervened. He developed throat cancer, perhaps from his lifelong smoking, and in 1924 he died before finishing the opera. At its premiere in 1926, the conductor Arturo Toscanini stopped at the point where Puccini had laid down his pen and told the audience, "Here the maestro died." The silence that followed was one of the most moving tributes in musical history. The opera was later completed by Franco Alfano, and Turandot entered the repertoire, crowned by Nessun Dorma, which has become an anthem of triumph known far beyond opera houses. Puccini's legacy is immense. He wrote fewer operas than some of his contemporaries, but each is a gem, polished and dramatic, overflowing with melody. He combined the Italian tradition of bel canto with the realism of Verismo, the orchestral richness of Wagner with the clarity of his own Tuscan heritage. His music goes straight to the heart. Critics sometimes accused him of sentimentality, of pandering to popular taste, of being too theatrical. But audiences loved him then and love him still because he captured the essence of human emotion. In his works we hear love and jealousy, faith and betrayal, hope and despair. We hear life itself. Beyond the stage, Puccini was a complex man. He loved hunting and fast cars, cigars and good food. He was not always faithful in his personal life, his affairs causing scandal. He could be irritable, stubborn, superstitious. Yet he was also capable of deep loyalty and tenderness. In letters to friends and colleagues, he revealed his anxieties, his perfectionism, his endless struggle to match the music in his mind with the notes on the page. He was a man of contradictions. Worldly yet private, successful yet insecure, indulgent yet driven. When he died, Italy mourned him as the last great opera composer in a line stretching back through Verdi, Donizetti, Bellini, and Rossini. His home in Torre del Lago, overlooking a quiet lake, became a shrine, visited by admirers from around the world. And his operas continued to travel farther still, to every corner of the globe, sung in grand theaters and small houses alike, loved by seasoned opera-goers and newcomers who may know only one aria yet feel its power. Today, in a world far removed from Puccini's Tuscany, his music remains immediate. When Mimi whispers farewell in La Boheme, when Tosca leaps to her death, when Butterfly waits for the ship that will never return, when Calaf proclaims that no one shall sleep until victory is his, these moments bypass distance and time. They strike at something universal, something eternal in the human heart. Puccini gave opera its modern soul. He was not a philosopher like Wagner, not a revolutionary like Stravinsky, not an architect of symphonies like Mahler. He was a dramatist of feeling, a poet of melody, a servant of the theater, and for that he stands among the greatest giants of music. Thank you for listening to this episode of Classical Giants.